about understanding the Father's heart. We're going through that list of the things that help us to identify the orphan spirit. And the Lord's just been kind of expanding on that for me the last couple of days, and kind of the kind of ways that you feel when you're carrying that orphan spirit. An orphan is a person who feels and even lives as if though they have no parents, and that just stretched out for me. No parents, no power, meaning no authority or any ability to get anything done. You live as if though you have no provision, and no purpose. Yeah. The list just goes on, and God was giving me all these P's, and it's so funny. God does that with me. You have no power, no purpose, no provision, no protection, no parenting, and all of the things that are so important for us as human beings to have. The orphan spirit. You find yourself, even if you're not physically an orphan, you live like an orphan, as if though you don't have any of these things. And the reason why I say that is because that means that we make decisions, and and even when things go wrong, it's so easy to fall back into that orphan spirit. See, and I know that feeling, like, see, I knew it wasn't going to work out. See, I'm aiming too high. I'm trying to do stuff that I'll never get to do. It ain't going to work. And when you feel like an orphan, like there's no provision, then you start trying to make things work out for yourself. And moving in your own strength. And
becoming a survivor and not more than a conqueror.
There's that word again, yeah. Becoming a survivor. One thing that I remember when that show first came out, you know, that show Survivor, and then Destiny's Child came out with that song, I'm a Survivor, and I remember how much that bothered Carol when she heard that. I mean, the words sounded so powerful, and even some of the big well-known preachers begin to preach about the people of God being survivors. And I remember how that, it just bugged her in her spirit. Like, no, surviving is not good enough. Because surviving means that you only got enough for yourself. Because survivors can't do anything for anybody else. You put in all that effort and energy, and that's all you got is enough to make sure that you're okay. And even when you're a survivor as a parent, you have enough for you, as they say, me, my four, but the rest of the phrase is, then no more. So you always do enough to make it for that which concerns you. And so I remember just really wrestling with this. This has been, you know, Survivor, that television show has been out, about 4 or 5 years now. And of course, that song is pretty old now, but that spirit now reigns in America, where it is literally in America today, every man and woman for himself. And I remember going to school, you know, back in the days of college, and because I was going in for radio and television productions, they would teach us some. I remember going through a course that talked about the psychology and the psychiatry behind what you see. What you see and what you hear, and how things are done intentionally to promote a certain mindset in people, and you do it through media, through songs, through television, through movies, through talk shows, through game shows, things like that, that begin to promote a certain mindset.
Soaps.
Yeah, soap operas, everything. And so I remember, this is a long time ago, I'm going way back, but, 27 years ago, I remember going through, it was called a mass communication course, in which we talked about this, and they talked about how the day was going to come in America when they would begin to put on shows and make a big, huge effort. This is me. I'm going to a Christian university, and they're very sensitive to these kind of things, but this is 27 years ago, and they were teaching us, and they said, watch and observe, in your lifetime, America's going to start promoting shows and movies and everything that talk about survival of the fittest. And you're going to see, because those of you who've been through psychiatry, sociology, and those kind of courses, you know, they have those elimination games. where they start off with just a story of, you know, four or five people in a boat, and we only got so much food. So who are we going to throw overboard? And they said, watch in America as they begin to instill this mindset of who is worthy and unworthy to live. And so, and then when they first presented it to us, they gave us an example of, they used different ethnic groups and gender. So they would use such things as, if a black woman and a white man and a Latino woman and an Asian man, and they would put those, all of them in a boat, there's only so much food, who deserves to live and die? And they begin to give us, show us the process by which people come up with their own standards and their own criteria for who deserves to live and die. Yeah. That was 27 years ago they told us that this was going to be. And so when I start, when we start seeing shows like Survivor and all of the shows that have come afterwards that all have to do with eliminating people, that's a mindset that's being promoted in America of The Apprentice. Everything is about eliminating and setting standards or presenting games, you know, Fear Factor and all that kind of stuff. What are you willing to do to make it, to survive? How far will you go to survive? And so there's a mindset that's being instilled in America in particular that has to do with nothing but survival of the fittest, and doing whatever it takes for me to come out on top. Now, I won't get into all of the deep sociological and political reasons for them doing that, but I will get into the spiritual consequences, and that is, the spiritual consequences is that, especially here in the house of God, where the people of God even have that mindset, is that we begin to live like what we've been talking about since Sunday. We begin to live with that orphan spirit. In other words, that whole mindset promotes an orphan spirit. And why is that so important? Because if we see ourselves as survivors and we live like orphans, then we don't even look to God as our father. We don't look to him as our parent, as our provider, as our protector, as the one who speaks my purpose, who, my God, it's all whatever I got to do to make it. And so even when there are times when it seems like God is silent or if God is taking too long, then immediately that mindset that we have been bred in and trained in through the educational system, through the entertainment world, through personal life experience, it just kicks in, doesn't it? You find yourself doing it without even thinking about it. Just survival mode just kicks in. God, you're taking too long, or you ain't saying nothing. And I got bills to pay. Stuff got to happen. I'll take it from here. Yeah. And at that point, we become like those people who's, you know, like, I'm kicking God out the boat. You know, you're the first one to go. Well, I'll do it myself. Does that sound too mean to say we kick God out the boat? He's the first to go. And so I've kind of observed these last couple of days how it's become so vital to understand the Father's heart. I'm kind of just a few minutes. I want to take a look at where did we stop? We stopped on 7. Wow, you still remember, don't you? If you need a book, there's some over in the back. I want to just do a quick review of those first ones that we looked at, and then we'll continue on from there. Where's Johnny? Go ahead, Johnny. Put that up on the screen for me. We were talking about the story, the parable that Jesus gave about the father who had two sons. You saw me pause right there because I wanted to actually give that parable the right title. Everybody calls it the story of the prodigal, but really, as you heard me say Sunday, as I grew in the Lord, I discovered that it was also about the elder brother. And then as I got more mature in my understanding in the Lord, I came to realize that it was actually a story about the father. because Jesus, the way he even started it, the whole thing was all about the Father. He said a certain man had two sons. That's what the story was about. I mean, he says it right from the beginning. Then he said a certain man had two sons. That's what the parable is about. It's about the Father. And so through the years, and if you're like me, we've all been in churches where they talked about the wasteful son, and then some would talk about the older son who stayed home. And it was always the parable about the prodigal son. Well, now, boy, really something when you step into what God actually, it's amazing when you just read the Bible, what it actually says. Jesus said, let me show you my Father. There was a man who had two sons. And so I want to understand the Father's heart, and that he could look at a son who just simply wanted dad's stuff. This was a son who had no issue, like some in the body of Christ. They really struggle, and I'll be honest with you. I struggle with that provision revelation about the Father. And so this son, he had no struggle with the provision part. You're like, give me mine. Give me what's mine. He was not struggling with the provision part. Not at all. His struggle was with parenting and purpose. Because he didn't understand what was the purpose for the provision. He didn't like being under his dad's authority. And so that was his struggle. Whereas his brother, who was in the field working, but he was really struggling with more of the purpose also. But he was trying to work for the provision. He was trying to work for something that God had already given him, what his Father had already given him. And I know there's many of us in the house of God, we struggle with that side. It's like, okay, I know you said you're going, this is all inheritance laid up for me, but somehow I just feel like I'm supposed to be working. Anybody, especially when you've been taught that all your life, even people who haven't even been raised in church have been taught this, and that is, if you be good, you go to heaven. If you be bad, you're going to hell. And so you're taught right from a little child, even with stories about Santa Claus. Think about it. If you be good, he knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows. And so you get gifts and presents at Christmas time being good. And so people who don't even know nothing about church or God or nothing are still trained in a mentality that you earn gifts. And that's really a contradiction of terms. You don't earn gifts. It's not a gift if you earned it. Gifts are given with no strings attached. Ain't got nothing to do with how you behaved before or even after you got it. Gift is connected with the word grace, meaning unearned favor. When you get something because you earned it, then that's more connected what you heard me use that word, a gratuity. That is an earned favor. You have an unearned favor, which is grace, but you have an earned favor, which is a gratuity, or a better word would be a reward. And so when we're asking people, or as a little child or an adult working for the company, you know, because they do that in companies, don't they? You get a year-end bonus or reward. And so, yeah, something extra comes with because you earned it. But this son, he was struggling with that. You see, Jesus talked about this elder son. He was trying to earn an inheritance. An inheritance is going to be passed on to you, whether you earned it or not, because he was born into it. Symbolic and speaking of us even today as having been born again, born into the family of God. And so by simple spiritual birth, I'm preaching to myself again, y'all. By simple spiritual birth, we have been born into this place of receiving an inheritance. So we don't spend all of our Christian life trying to earn something that's been passed on to us by inheritance. You say, but don't an inheritance come after a death? The person has to die before you receive it. Yeah, and he did. Jesus died on the cross. And then the best part is like, oh my God, he already died. So the inheritance is ours when we're born. It's not a crazy thing. There are some in that sometimes happens. Children are born into an inheritance because the person that they are that is coming through has already died. So that's what happened to us. When we received Jesus Christ into our heart, because he had already died, we automatically came into the inheritance just by birth, not even by earning it. Woo, that'll mess you up. That messes up all of the religious theology that says, I got to work for it. But that was that son who was in the field. Even when I see that description, you saw I highlighted that on your page, on page 2, where it says, now his older son was in the field. I put that in bold print. Because that is an important thing to see. What in the world is an elder son who's going to be the first son, the one who's going to receive the inheritance? What is he doing working in the field? Because as an elder son, he should have been not in the field. He would be the dad's manager. He would be the one managing the business for dad, not out in the field working with everybody else. Isn't that amazing? So that tells you already that son's understanding was off right from the beginning. The elder son in the field. I had never seen that before. So when that kind of stuck out to me, that's why I put that in bold print. Told you we started work. We started working on this about 6 years ago when the Lord brought all this forth about understanding the Father's heart, and it just stuck out to me. What in the world if he's the eldest son? He's going to inherit the double portion of dad's wealth and all of that. So why is he in the field? Just even in the natural, in their culture. The elder son wouldn't be out there working the field like everybody else. He would be supervising. My God. So he was already, first of all, you're in the wrong place. You're doing something that's not even your job, son. So his understanding and it came up when he was angry with the answer that he gave his father. You go down to the next part that I put in bold print. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. Wow. That's a really hurtful thing to say to, I don't know if you can catch this, that's a hurtful thing to say to your father who is planning on giving you everything. Lo, these many years I have been serving you. You're like, son, I didn't ask you to serve me. I wanted you to be my son. Not just out working and serving. And he was very upset because, you know, his dad had made a big party and feast and got the, you know, killed the fatted calf for his brother. And let's read that again. It says, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. I was obedient. Wow. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. See, he was works and reward. Not really. Yeah. He was works and reward oriented. I was good. That same thing I said about Santa Claus. I've been good. I've been obedient, but you never gave me anything. I've been good. So this is a key one to understand about the way the father actually feels and what he thinks. Because the father responded with those profound words. Continue with what the son said. But as soon as this son of yours came, he didn't say my brother. As soon as this son of yours came, he has devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, meaning the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. I'll stop there for just a second. Saying all that I have is yours is, son, you never had to serve like that. You didn't have to serve to try to earn anything. By virtue that you were my son, it was already yours. You didn't have to work work the land and work the field like everybody else. They're hired. They're hired here. They're on a wage. They're on a salary. So they're going to be receiving from me because they did earn it. They worked to get this money. But you didn't have to work. It was yours, son. That's a profound. God talking to me right now. Is the Lord speaking to you? Is he talking to you right now? Oh, Lord, all that I have received. Listen to God speak that to you right now. All that I have is yours. We are not working to earn. It's already ours. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's already mine. It's already mine. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for helping us to connect with the purpose for our work. Yes, Lord God. And even putting us in the right place in our work. This son was in the wrong place. He was in the field. My God, I don't know where he was supposed to be, but Lord, help us, Lord God, that we're not in the wrong place at the wrong time trying to earn. Yes, Lord God. Lord, we receive your promise, your promises, the inheritance that has been set aside and laid up for us. And Lord, what that means in our day-to-day living, God, I thank you for turning our very reason. Each day we have to get up and go to work. Each day, each time the week comes around and it's pay week, Lord, help us to connect with the difference between what you've given and what we have earned. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord. My Lord God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Woo. I got to stop on that one. My God. God speaking. Thank you, Lord, for settling that difference for us. And so when you look at that orphan spirit, and let me just read through those again from Sunday, that orphan spirit feels like when you're dealing with an orphan spirit, you feel like everything and everybody else is wrong. And basically that means that no matter what someone else tells you, you always have a different way of looking at it. Well, it's not that. It really is this. No matter what they tell you, you find yourself always saying, well, that's really not the issue. The issue is this. No matter what you're told, everybody else is wrong. And the reason why an orphan spirit feels that way is because if they are wrong, then that means that they'll have to come into that list of what I talked about. That means if I'm wrong, then that means somebody else is right and I might have to come off of my position. Yeah. That means that there is another, not just a point of view, but there is a parent. There is an authority over me.
There's a discipline that I must come into.
Yeah. I think I was giving you guys the example when we ran into all those kids when we were passing through the city of Abidjan in Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast of Africa, at the airport. And all these kids who were homeless and parentless were swarming around us to try to get us, let us, you know, if they wanted to carry our luggage and all those kinds of things to earn a tip. Because for them, it was life and death to be able to get some money each day. And so strips, just real strong, stiff competition with each other. That orphan mindset of survival at all costs, watching those kids. And it was painful to see that. And even when one of the women in our team tried to help, how they just attacked her, you know, took out a pack of crackers and tried to pass it around, and they attacked her. So we told, don't ever do that. Because it's the same way even in the natural. I remember I'm a good swimmer, and I was even considering being a lifeguard at one point, except I discovered how tough it is really to save people's lives. They can kill you.
Yeah.
That's what got me.
Survival instinct. Because
I didn't know if I could do all the things that they tell you got to do to save someone's life, because the first thing you are told to do when someone is panicking when they're in a panic and they're drowning, you're told to swim up to them and to smack them on the back of the head. Yeah. Because if you don't, they will grab you.
They kill you, drown you.
They will grab you. They will. And think about it. If someone is drowning, they will grab you. And once they grab you and your arms and everything, they will drown you. Even though you a great swimmer and all that, a drowning person will kill you. Yeah. And so that's why this is so important as we talk about the orphan spirit. Because the orphan spirit will drown, kill, assault anything, anybody for their survival. Just as we saw those kids do with that lady that tried to pass out a pack of crackers to a bunch of wild, unruly, but starving kids. Because their life was on the line. So they weren't going to, she was thinking American, they're all going to line up nicely and let me pass out crackers to them. Oh, no. Man, I saw one hand grab up and just grab the whole, just, and then the next hand snatched the bag out of her hand. Then the next hand grabbed her purse and the next hand grabbed her luggage and they just swooped in. Because for them, it wasn't just food. It was clothes. It was jewelry. It was everything that we can get and we can go and sell it and get some money. And so that's how the orphan spirit works. And so I believe that one of the struggles that we have, and I remember talking about this just briefly Sunday, that when you're operating out of the orphan spirit, we can do that with God also. And so we quote the writers and say all the things. I claim this in the name of Jesus. This will be mine in the name of Jesus. And actually, we're operating out of an orphan spirit of survival. The preacher told me that if I say this and if I claim that, then I'll get. And so it's not faith. And so then when it doesn't work, when God doesn't answer the prayer, when, quote, God doesn't come through, then we're mad. Because they told me that if I say it in the name of Jesus and if I quote this and if I fast and if I believe, it's going to happen. And why didn't it happen? It's because we were operating out of that orphan spirit of survival and trying now to pull God into my world of survival. And God saying, no, you're not just a survivor. I made you to be more than a conqueror. And conquerors don't try to pull me into your world of make it at all costs. No, conquerors listen to my voice. That's the first thing. The word of the Lord says, Proverbs, in all thine getting, survivor, because survivors are trying to get. See that? Still see those hands, those kids trying to. But here's the Lord saying, if you're going to be more than a conqueror, if you're going to be a survivor, then that's all you'll ever do the rest of your life. But if you're going to be more than a conqueror and all you're getting, then guess what? Get understanding. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. He said, wisdom, what that going? What the world has that got to do with my bills, my livelihood? I need a job. I need some money. What in the world has all that got to do? He said, because by wisdom, the worlds were founded. He said, wisdom was there when God carved out the earth. I love the way he puts it. And he filled in the oceans and told her you can only go this far. And when he spread out the landmass and when he established the atmosphere and put the stars in place, wisdom was there. So in all you're getting, if wisdom was right there when God was making everything, then I think when all you're getting, you better get wisdom. Because wisdom is the principle. Principle means the top, the most important thing. It's the priority. When orphan spirits distrust authority, hate authority, fear submission, accountability. A fourth orphan spirit. Wow, where's my, got my list. Where is my list? This was so good from Sunday. Love running these again. Orphan spirit distrusts authority, hates authority, or fears submission and accountability. Orphan spirit lacks direction. So they wander. Orphan spirit compares everything and everyone. Orphan spirit will be out of order and say, God told me. God told me to do this. I know I can't find no scriptures on it, but God told me. And so orphan spirits often find themselves out of order, believing God told them to do what they're doing, not understanding that God does not do anything that's in violation to his word, and he won't tell us to do anything in violation to his word. Orphan spirit has inability to make clear strategic decisions, and it's because they always live, I think I talked about that Sunday, always living in the moment, always in the now. You know, again, going back to those kids in that airport, man, they wasn't hardly concerned about if whether they was going to get caught by the cops or nothing. In the moment, we got somebody right here handing us some food, and she's wide open, and now we can get her purse, her luggage, her jewelry, and everything. And you ain't worrying about no consequences. So they have the inability to make clear strategic decisions, because all that matters is my survival in the moment. Orphan spirit are achievers, but not receivers. A lot of us orphans, and I put myself in that category when I saw that particular one. By the way, all these came from a conference that Carol and I went to, and the speaker gave us this list. He said, you know, take it and use it. I don't mind. I said, I sure am. First of all, I'm going to use it on myself. Then I'm going to share it with our congregation in relation to the direction that the Lord is taking us anyway. So since the Lord is taking us back to Father's heart, this was perfect that he brought up this list of the orphan spirit. But when he got on this one, that they are achievers, not receivers, that one really hit home with me, because this is the kind of person that the elder son of those two sons, that's what he dealt with. He was an achiever, out in the field working. Yeah, not a receiver. He couldn't just settle on, I'm going to be receiving this inheritance. I must do something to earn it. Also, you find that many that work out of the orphan spirit, and that was like me, serious workaholics. Could easily work 12 hours a day, and I did 12, 15 hours a day. Didn't even stop to eat or nothing. Man, y'all know, some of y'all keep shaking y'all head going, I don't understand that. I don't know how you going to go all that long without eating. That's why I don't weigh nothing now. And even when the man of God prayed for us at that conference, God just gave it to him, just spoke it to him. I ain't even say all that about myself. He just, the Lord's delivering you from being an overachiever. Oh, God, you found me. Woo! Isn't it funny when God just speaks out of heaven? I see it like some of those special effects they do where they show the earth, and then you zoom in, they zoom in, and you can see the continent, and then they zoom in closer, you're right in on the state, and zoom in on just the one house, then zoom inside the house on one person. That's how I felt. I feel like I got zoomed in on by God. Just zoom, pow, yeah. So but when you operate out of an orphan spirit, you're an achiever, not a receiver. Orphan spirit draw close to people, but drain people. I didn't make it that far Sunday, and it's probably as far as I'll go tonight as we wrap up tonight. But orphan spirits have a tendency, just like those little kids, they drew close to us, but they drain that woman right in that moment. Go ahead, I see you.
It's only wanting what they need from you in the moment, and when they get that, then they're gone. It can even manifest in a codependent spirit.
Yeah.
A person usually doesn't want to discipline themselves when they're codependent. They want the answer from you. They don't want to search it out for themselves. They want the answer from you. And they'll keep coming back to you as long as you're willing to feed them. You're willing to do the work for them.
Yeah. And so you also have to just, as we're looking at this, say, Lord, show me how I'm acting this out as an orphan, where I draw on people and I begin to just drain upon them and really don't look to you. Because you'll often find, I guess a good way to identify yourself and see is that, Lord, whenever the person that I'm sharing with or talking with or looking to for help, do I get irritated when they tell me to go pray? Do I get angry with them whenever they tell me to go look up the scripture? That's how you'll be able to see, okay, I'm operating in that orphan spirit, because I get irritated and angry with them whenever they tell me to go look it up, especially when they tell me to pray. It's because I want them to pray for me, and they tell me, no, this time the Lord's saying for me to tell you, you need to listen to him. Because a wise brother or sister or spiritual parent will begin to detect and actually they'll begin to identify the places where an orphan spirit is asking them for direction. See, and sometimes pastors and ministries have gotten into that, where they've told people who they're supposed to marry and if whether they're supposed to take this job or not, and if they're supposed to go and live here or not. And when you get into that, oh no, we can't do that. And so you have to kind of look at God. Am I moving into that? Am I looking to this person to give me direction about my life? Even when we draw to a spiritual parent, a spiritual mom or dad, and I'm using that since we're talking about the orphan spirit, they're in that place to point us to the principles of the Word of God, to help us to learn how to recognize the voice and will of God for ourselves, because they can never become God to you or God for you. Does that make sense? So, like, Lord, help me. Show me in the place. And I just use that as an example, that as a good way to identify and check with the people or person that you look to as a spiritual parent. Do I get angry with them when they point me to the Word? Do I get frustrated with them when they keep pointing me back to the principles and telling me to do it myself? When you find yourself getting angry and irritated with them, or even hurt because they point you away from them and to the Lord, then you say, this isn't a message of condemnation tonight. This is just identify and say, Lord, okay, Lord, help me. I'm looking to this human being instead of to you.
Or you may be dealing with someone who's treating you that way. Hopefully you'll have an internal permission to discipline them, help discipline them to look for themselves or search for themselves.
I'll finally get off this slide. This is the last one on this slide. Number 9, orphan spirit, need to be needed. Go to places or churches where they feel they are needed. Wow, I remember watching this one happen a lot. When this man came to show this list, I'm like, man, he was a Norwegian brother. So, I mean, you know, I'm thinking he's from Norway. How did he know? How did he know this goes on in church? I guess the church is the same all over the world. It's that people, they go where they are needed. And it happened in our early days. Back when we were helping my brother, my pastor, start the church in St. Louis, people who needed to be needed. They came. And then also, and they tend to go to places or churches where they feel needed. Yes, Lord, they tend to do that. So I'm sure you have identified that and seen that in your own life, where if they can find a place, you know, I want to go to a church where they need some greeters, you know, they need some, you know, whatever the thing might be. And so I'm going to go there, because if I go there and I know that they need all these things, and they're going to need me, because that's my gifting. Many times they try to find a place that needs their gift. And so I remember how the Lord told us when we got started, and I've been so glad. Boy, I'm so glad for every single one of y'all in this room, because the Lord told us to start based upon relationship. Let's just get to know each other. And so before we found out about anybody's gifts and talents or skills or anything, it's like, I know you now. and that is where I saw now the wisdom of that. Here's a year later, and with this man giving us this list, then I saw the wisdom of the Lord telling us to do it that way, because it helps to identify where we would have been helping. Helping the orphan to not to change,
to stay
undercover. That's the word, enabling. We would have been enabling the orphan spirit to stay the same.
Yeah.
By just simply saying, okay, yeah, we need a drummer, come play. We need a piano player, come play. We need some singers, come do that. Yeah, we need somebody to come do that. But they would just be here only as long as they felt needed.
Because most of the time they don't really want relationship. They don't want you to know them past their gift.
Yeah.
They just want to be able to express their gift.
Yeah. So when as you saw, it did happen, as we got to the place where it was time to, what was the word we used, cut covenant and really establish, this is official, this is real, this is the real thing. Then it would have been like, well, I just came to help. And I know that because I said that to my own brother. I just came to help. I ain't come to do all this other stuff. I sure did. I'm like, I came to help. But when the seriousness of the ministry and the vision and all those things begin to settle, I remember having to decide, okay, this is really it. And the Lord really has helped us through the years to identify the places. Now that I look back, I know to call it this now, to identify the places where the orphan type mentality would begin to manifest and come out or respond. That's probably the strongest way I know how to identify, to say, the orphan spirit. It's heavily, heavily insecure. Very, very insecure. And the best way I know how to define insecurity is with a question, and that is the orphan spirit asks the question, if you really get to know me, will you still love me? Yeah, and that's the reason why it's easier to just present my gifts, because I'm good at this. And if I keep presenting and showing you what I'm good at, you'll like me. But if you really, but beyond my gift, I don't know if you're going to really like me, because I'm really gifted. But, you know, a lot of times I wake up in the morning, I just have an attitude, and I don't even know why. I just have an attitude, you know. And I don't like people to tell me what to do. And, you know, the list can go on. I really don't like disciplining myself. I really don't. And so if you get to know that side of me, I don't know if you're going to like me. You know. And so here is the Lord saying, the way to deal with it is not even with pastors talking about the orphan spirit. Here's where the orphan spirit is dealt with. He said, understand your daddy. That's what all of this is about and going to be about over these next few weeks. I don't know how long we're going to be on this, but I don't think we can ever exhaust getting to understand daddy's heart. And that is, he's looking at these two kinds of children that he's got in his family. And one says, give me my stuff. Let me go do what I want to do. And the other one says, I'm working real hard to please you. And both of them have orphan spirits. Two sons, orphan spirits, but responding two different ways. And so as we look at it, and I will close now, as we take the time to look at the orphan spirit over these next couple of weeks, and then begin to allow the Lord to show us daddy's heart. Because this father, we know the story, sitting up waiting for the reconciliation. And of his prodigal son, the wasteful one, but was right there on the spot with the elder son. I find that interesting that the father left the party to go out to talk to his elder son. So it's not that he loved one more than the other. He, in both cases, he saw he needed to go to his son. And see that about daddy. In both of these cases, we always talk about the man running out to meet the prodigal son, but he also came out to meet his hard-working, just trying to serve you, son. Yeah. And so see that tonight, that God is coming, even as we're talking about this tonight and Sunday and next week and Sunday and next week and Sunday, then know that what this is really about, this is our Father coming out to meet us, my Lord. So Lord God, we just received this tonight, just this little bit that we've talked about. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us to move past being achievers and being receivers. Somehow, Lord, you keep putting emphasis on this word to us that we have an inheritance that's already ours, and we're not working to gain an inheritance, even though with the jobs and the careers and the things that we're involved in, Lord, that's still not our inheritance. We're not working for an inheritance. And thank you, Lord God, for now beginning to download and show us the true nature of our inheritance that we have, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us, Lord God, to identify the places where we do get irritated or angry or hurt when our spiritual moms and dads, even brothers and sisters, point us to you. And we get a little ticked off with them because we wanted them to give us the answer. We wanted them to help us. But, Lord, we thank you now for their integrity and for thank you for them having the guts to say to us, no, you need to talk to the Lord. No, you need to pray. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you for them now. We were mad at them at some point in time, but now we thank you, Lord. And, Lord, here in this moment also, Lord, we thank you for helping us in the places of insecurity where if we really disclose what our real hurts and pains are and what our real faults and failures are, where it feels like we won't be received or we won't be understood.